Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. In 8 days, we stop losing sunlight, okay? In 8 days. Then there's about 6 days where it just stays the same. And then the days start getting longer. And then it's Easter and we're done with snow. And we won't have to pray for those poor people down in Arizona who are suffering from the cold. This is the second Sunday of Advent. So last week we lit our Bethlehem candle. Today we light our shepherd's candle. The shepherds were the first people the angels announced to. So they got up from around their fires and ran. It's about a 5 mile trip, 6 miles, depending where they were on the prairie to Bethlehem. Today in Bethlehem, there's so much fighting between Israel and Palestinian that all the visitation, the holiday crowd, the people that like to go there and celebrate Christmas, they're not going there, so their economy's going down, down, down. We've got troubles in the world, and that's why Jesus came. Today we're going to hear the story of John the Baptist preparing the way for the coming of the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so you're invited to prepare your hearts for the coming of Christ too. A couple of announcements. If you haven't picked up your telephone directories, they're in a box out there. They put them in envelopes. Your name's on them. So go through the box and find your telephone directories, okay? Also, next to it, there's calendars and planners for the next year. Hello. You know, Joyce, I like to ask people why they're not in church on Sunday morning. Oh, okay. If that ever happens during the sermon, it happens a couple of times, bring it up and I want to ask, why aren't you in church today, okay? It makes a great sermon illustration. So, anyway, there's calendars and planners. If you've got some neighbors or friends or whatever you'd like to invite to church, give them a planner and say, come on over to church, okay? Or if you need something for yourself, make sure you use them, because if we don't use them, next year, 2016, you start and half the year's over and they're still laying there. They're not any good, so take them, okay? Take them. Handel's Messiah, it says it's at the Aiken High School Auditorium. No, it's at the Butler Building. They've asked me if I would do a welcome and an opening prayer. So I had to do some research on the Messiah. First time it was presented was in 1842. George Frederick Handel wrote it. Did that in about 22 days. There's three major parts to the Messiah. One is the birth story, the angels singing the Magnificat, Mary's song of joy when she finds she's pregnant. Second part is the crucifixion story. And the third part is the parousia, the end times. Most of the time you don't ever hear the ending, but tonight they're going to sing the announcement and the birth story, okay? And so if you'd like to... Oh, it's at the Butler Building. Have you anyone been in the Butler Building since they refurbished it? In the auditorium? Is it... No? Yeah? Is it nice? Yeah, I can't wait to see it. So anyway, if you're looking for some good music, I think that's tonight. The rest of the announcements, you can still sign up for poinsettias. Please do so. Our church Christmas party is Monday night. Is that here somewhere? Yeah.
We've got a lot of birthday cake to eat.
Oh, yeah. Today's Corky's birthday. So we're going to... Is today the birthday?
A day after tomorrow.
Day after.
We thought we would celebrate today.
Okay.
And also...
Okay, we'll do that during the coffee hour.
Yeah, I don't think very many people know that Corky was very injured and even blinded for a time.
Yeah, okay. We'll hear that during the coffee hour.
Would we?
Yes, but sounds good.
Thank you.
So you're all invited to coffee. Please join us. Let's open our worship with a word of prayer. Oh, Lord, we are gathering on this second Sunday of Advent where we are invited to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Help us to prepare our hearts and our minds and our lives. Help us to get our lives in order so that one day we can meet you and you will receive us with open arms and with great love. And Lord, we can't wait for that day because some of the burdens get pretty heavy these days. So Lord, send your Spirit this morning to remind us of your love and forgiveness and joy and peace that's promised to us. Send your Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is 257. Let's sing the first, second, third, and last verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. We rise during the singing of the last verse. Last verse. Turn to the order of confession and forgiveness on page 2. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the Lord of Israel, who comes to set us free, the mighty Savior who comes to show mercy, the dawn from on high who guides us into peace. Let us come before God in confession. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess together. To you, O God, we lift up our souls. You know us through and through. We confess our sins to you. Remember not our sins. Remember us with your steadfast love. Show us your ways. Teach us your paths. And lead us in justice and truth. For the sake of your goodness in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Sisters and brothers, Come with joy and draw water from the well of salvation. Remember the gift of baptism. Your sin is washed away in the name of Jesus. You belong to Christ. You are anointed to serve. Stand up and raise your heads. The reign of God is near.
Amen.
Let's join together in the prayer of the day. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, give to all people the world of knowledge of your salvation.
Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Beautiful. The reading for today is from Philippians 1, verses 3 through 11. The Apostle Paul was the pastor of many new churches. He writes in this letter about his joy to be in partnership with the Christians of Philippi. Listen to how tender-hearted Paul, sometimes a stern preacher, is with his friends as he encourages them to grow in love and knowledge. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. Because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The psalm for today is from Luke 1, verses 68 through 79. We will read this responsively, and at the bold R, please read, "In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us." Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free. Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
Show mercy to our forebears, and to remember your holy covenant.
This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies.
Free to worship.
And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way.
To give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel this morning comes from the third chapter of St. Luke. John the Baptist is a herald of the saving Lord, whose way is prepared by repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As we hear the careful word of human leaders, we sense the spectrum of political and religious authority that will be challenged by this coming Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That is, as it is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Here ends the lesson. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, 254. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Everyone has his or her idea of what's important. I was walking last summer through a graveyard down out of Menominee, Wisconsin, where some long-lost relatives live, and there was a tombstone that said, gave the man's name, and it said on the tombstone, "Bowled a 300 in 1982. Good old Wisconsin pride, yeah. It was a woman, what's important in a person's life. Woman stopped at a garage sale. As she was checking out, she says, "My husband's going to be really angry that I stopped here." Oh, the gal behind the register said, "He'll be so happy with all the great deals that you brought home." Well, normally she says that be so, but he broke his leg and he's waiting for me to take him to the emergency room. One last one, a teenager walking the streets down in Minneapolis, all of a sudden two guys showed up, one on either side. One's got a pistol, another's got a knife. The guy with the pistol says, "Give me your wallet or I'll shoot you." "I'm not giving you my wallet," he kept going. The guy with the knife says, "Give me your wallet or I'll knife you." "I'm not giving you my wallet," he just kept walking. Those guys just disappeared. He was telling his friends this, and they said, "Why didn't you give him his wallet? Weren't you scared?" He says, "Of course I was scared, but I had my learner's permit in it." That's what's important to people. Huh? Everyone has her or his concept of what's important in life. So our lesson today for the second Sunday of Advent takes us to a man who believed it was his mission in life to prepare the world for the coming of Jesus. Of course, I'm talking about John the Baptist. Listen to the gospel again. He says, "The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation.'" See, central to John's life was this mission. This is what John came to do, to prepare the world for the coming of Christ. That's our mission too, to prepare the world for Christ. That's our mission as the church, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's easy for us to forget that's our mission. That's what we're called to do. A young woman was telling her friend about her fiancé who had been sent to basic training in the Coast Guard out in Cape May, New Jersey. Soon after the engagement, he had his first furlough. She flew out to visit with him. They were walking at evening on his first leave. It was a moonlit night. All of a sudden, the sidewalk ends. The young soldier stops. The fiancé wasn't ready to stop. She says, "Let's go on down to the water." And the young guy says, "What? And have the sand ruin the shine on my shoes?" And those of you who have been in the military, Jerry, you know what that's all about, don't you? It takes a lot of labor to have a lustrous shine on your shoes. That young man needed to decide in a hurry which was more important, his fiancé or his shoes. Now, being a smart Finlander, I would have taken my shoes and socks off and walked down to the water. But it's easy for us followers of Jesus to take our eyes off the target, to forget what's really important. I mean, we have so many priorities, particularly during this time of Advent and Christmas. There's so much stuff happening, it's easy to forget what's going on, huh? For example, our choir is preparing up Cantata. It's going to be sung in two Sundays? Two Sundays. We better get going. But good music's always a priority during Advent and Christmas. Tonight, Handel's Messiah. Good music is always a priority during holiday season. I read recently where singing Christmas carols is good for your health, especially singing in a choir. According to this report, it reduces stress, it boosts hormones that promote feelings of trust and bonding. More important, singing in a group can improve your self-esteem. can increase feelings of social belonging. It wards off loneliness. So sing those carols. Even if you're not able to belt out a Christmas tune. You know, I see you, Dave, back there. I've heard you sing. And Craig, you better not be laughing. So I would advise you guys, when you get in the car, well, sing with your grandkids. They will listen to anything. Or else, and you turn on the Christmas music and sing really loudly and let the people see you, okay? And then you will feel good about yourself. It helps. Joining a choir, singing is a good idea. But if you're not apt to belt out a song, you know, do those things. Sing those songs. It gets the juices flowing. Preparing music and other elements of worship is important. So are all the activities of the church. As long as we remember our overall goal, and that's to prepare ourselves and the world for the coming of Christ. That's what the message is this Advent. I've got a friend who's a history teacher, and he's a great storyteller. So I says, tell me a history story that I can preach to the congregation that might engage them, okay? Unbeknownst to me, he told me this preparation story about John the Baptist. So he says in ancient times when a king was going to visit a city, he would send before him a herald for his coming. And the herald would go around the city and before the city leaders and tell them, the king is coming, he's going to be here any day. So clean up your lives, make sure you're living in obedience with the king's commands so that you won't be punished when he comes. And he said that herald also served as a city inspector. He would go up and down the streets and the highways and byways, make a list of things that needed to be fixed. And he would tell them, clean up your city. Sweep your streets. Get rid of the garbage that's lying around. And any criminals you see, get them out of town. And those roads, make them smooth and straight and make sure the town is gleaming. Make sure the city is fit for the king to ride through. And it was an embarrassment, he said, for the city and the people of the city if they weren't prepared when the king arrived. It was also an insult to the king if they hadn't prepared properly for his arrival. He said, in the same way, John the Baptist came to announce the coming of a king. We're called to clean up our act, clean up our cities, clean up our lives. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in and every mountain shall be made low. And the crooked roads should become straight and the rough roads smooth. And all the people will see God's salvation. What a wonderful way to depict the preparation of the world for Christ. Wouldn't it be great if that happened? Straightening the curves, filling in the valleys, cutting away the high mountains so that the road might be easy to travel on. That's why each year on the second Sunday of Advent, we revisit John the Baptist, preaching and baptizing in the wilderness. The living of the land is a picture helping us to understand the way John's ministry prepared the way for the ministry of Christ. And Luke would write, and all people will see God's salvation. Salvation has come to all people if we prepare the way. So how were the people in John's time to prepare themselves for the coming of Christ, according to John the Baptist? They were to repent of their sins. You read concerning John, he went into all the country around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance is a tough word for people to tie into Christmas. Repentance is not a thing we associate with Christmas. Christmas is a warm, fuzzy, holy day. Christmas time, we think of God as a jolly old Santa Claus, forgives us all, accepts us all, would never hold us responsible for how we live. The last thing we want to think about at Christmas is repentance, I think. Even if it weren't Christmas time, it's hard to combine a vision of a prophet out in the wilderness like John, dressed in animal skins, eating locusts and wild honey and calling people to repentance in a vision of, you compare that with a vision of our modern day society that lacks a total concept of sin. We don't even remember what sin is anymore, it seems like. Whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, we say. Yeah, we're not even sure what sin is anymore. It's a It's a word that's lost its sting. It's like a punchline of a tired old joke. We don't even pay it any attention. And yet, meanwhile, domestic violence takes the lives of thousands of women every year. More than half the nations of our children live in single-parent homes. Addictions continue to soar. Young people wander around without any moral compass. Mass media spews out violence and obscenity and explicit portrayals of sexual impropriety. I mean, you know, when you hear all this stuff, could it be that we are in greater need of repentance than we can imagine? Don't we need to change something in this world? Actually, we're not that much different from the people in Jesus' time. Huh? The Jews that John the Baptist time, they thought they had no need of repentance. I mean, Jews believed that only the Gentile converts needed to be baptized. This was to wash away all their defilement from their past activities, those who were Gentiles. Jews considered themselves children of Abraham, so they were okay. Why would they ever need to be washed clean from their past? They were called from God to be a holy nation. They had no concept of that they needed to prepare their lives for a new kind of reality. John the Baptist is calling to something different, huh? He's calling them to repentance because the King of Kings is coming. The Messiah is coming. The Prince of Peace who would establish a new reign of love and light was coming, and all people needed to change their hearts and minds and attitude. There's one of my favorite theologians is a guy named Frederick Buechner, and he writes a commentary on this passage. I want to read that to you. Buechner writes this. He tells us about John the Baptist. He says, John the Baptist didn't fool around. He lived in the wilderness around the Dead Sea. He subsisted on a starvation diet, and so did his disciples. He wore clothes that even rummage sale people wouldn't have handled. When he preached, it was fire and brimstone every time. The kingdom was coming, all right, he said, but if you thought it was going to be a pink tea, you'd better think again. If you didn't shape up, God would give you the axe like an elm with bite, or toss you into the incinerator like chaff. He said, being a Jew wouldn't get you any more points than being a Hottentot. And one of his favorite ways of addressing his congregation was was as a snake pit. Your only hope, he said, was to clean up your life as if your life depended on it, which it did, and get baptized in a hurry as a sign that you had. Some people thought he was Elijah come back from the grave. Some others thought he was the Messiah, but John would have none of either. I'm the one yelling himself blue in the face in the wilderness, he said, quoting Isaiah. I'm the one trying to knock some sense into your heads. That's what Buechner wrote about John the Baptist. Maybe we need a little head knocking as we get closer to Christmas, all of us. We're preparing our homes for Christmas, but I'm not so sure we're preparing our hearts. We're hanging up the lights, but we're ignoring the darkness in our own lives. The darkness of strained relationships, the darkness of moral weakness, the darkness of anger and hopelessness and fear and loneliness. One last story. Many of you, I suspect, used to watch a show on TV called Extreme Maker Home Edition. I dug this out of my archives. Back in 2004, about this time of year, Time Magazine had a story of a gal named Alice Harris who lived in South Central Los Angeles, told the good people of how the good people of Extreme Makeover, how they volunteered to demolish her home. Seems that the year before, a flood had left Alice and her children, who had no insurance, living in one bedroom. Even worse, the flood had ruined a host of Christmas toys that Harris had collected for all the neighborhood kids. She said, I figured no one was going to come to Watts and help us. No one had ever done that before. But Extreme Makeover Home Edition did. Their staff shipped Harris and her family off for a week. They demolished the house, built a new one, replaced all the neighborhood gifts that she had collected and gave them to the neighborhood kids. They even put in a basketball court for the kids to play in. What a wonderful Christmas Harris and her family and neighbors had, thanks to Extreme Makeover Home Edition. When you look at this lesson, John the Baptist wanted people to understand that the coming of the Messiah would mean the coming of extreme makeover, world edition. And that day is still to come, a day when the poor will no longer be oppressed, a day when the hungry will be fed, a day when the world will no longer take up arms and we won't have shootings like what took place in California this week, a day when children will no longer live in fear. And you and I are called to participate in that makeover. That's why Advent is important. You and I have to take up some responsibility and change our ways and repent of our non-concern. I suppose the question I would have you think about this week is, are you willing to do your part? Or are you satisfied to participate only in that part of Christmas that feeds our desire for parties and presents and pleasant thoughts and cares little about the plight of our neighbors and the plight of our world? If so, then the prophet, the Baptist, says, it's time to repent. It's time to change because the King is coming. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. At the same time, let's join together in singing hymn 244. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on the top of page 5. Let us pray together. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need, until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Emmanuel has come, is here, and is coming soon. Let us join in prayer for the church, the earth, and those who are in need, that all receive what God promises to give. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. O God, our hope of unity, come to your church around the world. Purify your people and give to all the wisdom and courage to proclaim your word of forgiveness and renewal. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, our Savior, come to the earth that you made. Nurture the health of lands and seas. Give to plants and animals favorable weather. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God of peace, come to all the nations. Inspire heads of state and regional leaders with a passion for justice. Bring peace throughout the world. We pray for the people in San Bernardino. We pray for those teens and their families who died in the accidents in Burnsville. We pray for all those places where there's heart, where there's harm, and difficult circumstances. Be with them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
O God of love, come to everyone in need. Heal the sick. Answer the cries of those who are poor, those without housing, those who have fled from violence or famine. We pray especially for Joyce and Dean and Ron and Carol, Carol Bipes and Bill, and all those others in our lives who need your healing touch. Be with them, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
O God of compassion, come to our congregation and our community. This Advent, help us to prepare for your coming. Make us gifts to one another, that no one remains destitute or despairing. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the love that has come to this church. Throughout all these years, you have always been with us. Today we celebrate Corky's 57th year. Be with him in the days to come and his family. Be with our loved ones, Lord. Keep them close to you in these difficult times. O Lord of hosts, we pray you for the lives of all the faithful. Bring us with them to your feast of eternal compassion. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our prayers, merciful God, and make us ready to receive you when you come through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let's confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And so we gather at this holy table, for which all are welcomed. Jesus lives through this bread and through this wine. As he was at his last meal, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people everywhere throughout all time. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The table is set. All are invited. This morning we will use intinction, so we'll hand you the bread. Dip it into the wine or the grape juice. If you're gluten intolerant, please let the server know, and we'll be glad to serve you bread that's appropriate. Come, eat and drink. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. Let us pray. Holy One, we give you thanks that in this bread and cup we have feasted again on your endless love. Let that love overflow more and more in our lives, that we may be messengers to prepare your way, harvesters of justice and righteousness, and bearers of your eternal word, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. May God direct your words, ways in peace. May you abound in love for one another and for all, and strengthen your hearts until the coming of our Lord Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is Prepare the Royal Highway.